working with Clint here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh boy, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. I want to get to this, Clint, because yes, for the most part, you are absolutely getting crushed.
As you should.
Some people saying, you got to remember, Clint did spend half his life with his hands between another man's sweaty legs.
I did.
So he's
I
used
did.
To that.
I did, and there was a good chunk of my career during games. I would lick my right hand, which is the top hand that was in coming smooth out of somebody's ass.
Oh my God!
Joe Ferguson broke me of that. So hey man, you got a towel you got hanging on your hip? Once you wet it, and then you don't have to lick your hand. I said okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Then so someone else texted in, that's not sweat, it's liquid greatness.
If they want to wipe
that off, then they can go grab a membership, a handful of Tootsie Rolls and a slice of pizza and a bagel from Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
My mom has had great success at Planet Fitness.
Go back to your gaming room. You don't have to worry about any sweat in there. And you can turn the lights down real low, it doesn't hurt your eyes or anything, everything will be fine. That's all. I mean, anybody else, you want to get some real work in, let me know.
Hell with wiping that stuff down. Yeah. We'll deal with that later. All right.
I need to know where when you do wipe it, like what extent? Like when you get up off that, what do you feel? Is it every bench you use?
Yeah. If I use, like I don't do it on like kettlebells or.
Well, yeah, surely not.
Good that's job. What I said. This lady.
If you're wiping down kettlebells. I'm mad at
that's
you.
That's what I said. This lady was a little overboard. I watched her sitting up. She hit the dumbbells. She hit the kettlebells. She had used. She went over there. But the spot I go to, they got you can just take the roll off. I just take the roll off and I just wipe everywhere.
Do you look at
handles
it?
And everything?
Do you look at it? The handles and everything?
Oh yeah.
Oh hell no.
You know human hands are? Bro?
I'm just saying, while I'm there, you might as well hit it. I've got it out. Nice. I'll run it.
Takes 2 seconds.
Now or like in Red's gym, shout out to Red Zone. They got the spray. Hit the spray, bam.
I blame it on COVID.
Wipe it on down.
Well, you just get yourself a home gym like me.
I'm certain. I wiped down before COVID. I'm certain that was.
Oh yeah, me too.
Just even increased even more.
It's what a gentleman does.
Yeah. All right, Clint.
What a shame.
It is.
It is. I'm disappointed.
Not surprised.
I will definitely have you good and pissed off like I do my wife in workouts. Hey Ron, get over here. We're tired of wiping this down. Get over here and get the next set in, man. We are supersetting stuff. Let's go,
all
man.
Right, I'll get
Come
there.
On, you're on the clock, Chief.
I'll get there in just a second.
That's it.
I'll get there in just a second.
I quit. One
it's
workout.
Not super
I quit.
Time consuming.
Yeah, it's a quick march, man. Just bam, hit it. There you go. On to the next.
And you're getting steps in.
Okay. All right.
That was a joke.
All right. I've seen this from a lot of Texans fans. I've heard people talk about this and kind of changes potentially to CJ Stroud from years 1 and 2 to year 3 and things that can help. And one thing that I've heard a lot is, he could use his legs more. CJ could use his legs. He can run. He could get some hidden yards there and use his legs and stuff. They'll look at other quarterbacks. Mahomes is a popular one to use. About how he gets, certain first downs and things like that with his legs.
CJ with the legs.
I'm interested into hearing your thoughts on knowing the type of quarterback CJ is, understanding his skill set and his speed and all of that and his importance. By the way, just some notes. His rookie year, he rushed it.
He did what?
Rushed it. He rushed.
He chemically changed,
man. I like that.
He rushed
that
one. He rushed.
Down that damn ring.
He rushed 39 times for 167 yards, got 3 touchdowns. Last year, 52 rushes for 233 yards, no touchdowns. So that's what he's done the first 2 years. 713-572-4610, you can jump in on that. What's your thoughts about CJ using his legs more? Is that something that you think he should be looking at? Should be something that you're looking at to see if that's a part of his game he adds?
No. There should not be an emphasis on CJ Stroud.
It's talked about a lot.
CJ Stroud needs to protect himself by getting the ball out of his hand, first and foremost. Secondly, now there's things that CJ Stroud needs to do. CJ Stroud had a tendency last year, which with the leaky front, which I'm putting it nicely, the awful pass protection obviously drove him this way. He has a tendency to want to drift one direction, where so much so to where the defense can almost play to it, right? And so what CJ has to really work on is if he can get the middle of his protection somewhat shored up where he at least has a chance, is by habit, I want to push hard back up in the pocket. And when I do escape, I escape up the middle, get north and south, get some yardage and get down. I don't want to float to the sideline. I don't want to extend plays to the sideline. One, there's bad decisions get made out there. Two, the defensive players have free runs at you, long free runs at you where they're full speed. You don't want that. You're not going to win much of those battles right there. Not to mention, look, anybody that wants to see, and this is what I challenge, anybody that wants to see CJ use his legs more, we do understand that CJ Stroud, I've not seen one called running play for CJ Stroud since I've been here. So everything that people are referring to is off script, off schedule, right?
Mahomes, I'll see that. Mahomes did it. Someone just texted, Tom Brady did it effectively.
Tom Brady was as good as there is out there in the sense of pushing up in the pocket, getting across the line of scrimmage, the shortest point A to point B, getting north and getting down, and his old slow ass would still do it effectively. Yes, Mahomes is on a different level. He's much more athletic than I think people realize he is, and he plays with a freestyle fashion, stylistically a little bit more freestyle than I'd be comfortable CJ Stroud playing. He takes way too much risk. I said this before. I don't care if you're training young quarterbacks or we're talking about analyzing older quarterbacks that are at NFL, college level, NFL level. I think you get into, boy, somebody should do something like Mahomes, you lose me immediately, right? We've seen one Mahomes, man. There's one Mahomes out there. There's one Lamar Jackson out there, right? If you want to throw Mike Vick back in the day in that category, cool, that's fine. There's two of them, okay, right? We shouldn't be doing things or expecting guys to do things like those particular players. CJ Stroud's focus needs to be on, you play the position the way Joe Montana played the position. You play the position the way Tom Brady played the position. Distribute the football on time, accurately. Keep your jersey clean. Don't take as little risk as you possibly can. And when it comes time, you take the risk down the field because you have the talent to drive the football down the field. If the game dictates that you drive the football down the field, you drive the football down the field. If the game dictates you throw for 350, you go throw for 350, you get aggressive. If the game is coming to you and you're comfortable, hey man, you're staying upright, you're taking no hits, you're getting the ball out of your hands, you're staying ahead of the chains, and we're winning ball games. That's CJ Stroud's focus, no doubt about it. The question here in Houston, the question is this right here. Right now in Houston, what is Gerard Johnson and what is Nick Caley pushing into CJ Stroud's head? They and this is hindsight, right? This is hindsight. It's always 2020. But you look back last year, I believe coaching failed CJ Stroud from a messaging perspective, right? Building the roster to be this five-headed monster, talking about being aggressive from jump, coming from CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick from jump.
Bobby.
That whole outlook, that whole approach, now it blew up in their face bigger than everything, so it's easy to say right now. That approach was a poor decision. It was poor messaging to the quarterback. It was a poor decision, and they've got to backtrack a little bit and get it toned down a bit and get C.J. Stroud. The key is this. As talented as C.J. Stroud is, because he could do it all. He could go out there and be more aggressive and win some games and put up huge numbers. He could do that if he wanted to. The key is, can C.J. Stroud, does C.J. Stroud have the ability to go, hey, man, I got to go out here and just take this profit. I got to go out here and never go broke taking these profits. And you know what? If in the first half we go down the field and we're up 17-0 because our defense is nails and their offense has turned it over three or four times, we come out, we Cadillac in the second half. We chew more clock. We go home with a victory, right? You get down 17-0. You get in a shootout versus one of these high-powered offenses. Hey, now we got to get aggressive. You have that luxury with C.J. Stroud. But C.J. Stroud's mentality it needs to be, less is more. I know people don't like to hear that, but that is the way that C.J. Stroud is going to be the best version of C.J. Stroud.
I get the idea and the thought of it of, hey, picking up some key first downs with your legs, doing some things to extend a drive, having that threat.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand where people kind of come from that. I think a lot of people see that playoff game against the Chiefs, and he had 6 carries, 42 yards. There was a couple of long runs there.
Yeah.
But, Clint, every time I see him, when I watch him, I'm like, he seems to be one that takes hits when he runs. And my whole thing is a health thing. Because, I mean, we don't like that. We want to avoid Davis.
It is right.
He got one across the knee, didn't get out of bounds well enough, and maybe that comes with learning. But it just seems like he takes real hits when he goes. And I'm always thinking, get down.
Ryan, you're hitting a nail on the head. The C.J. Stroud that everybody's referring to with the legs, even the Georgia game where he showed me something that I didn't know that he had, even that game, it's all survival mode. Very rarely have we seen C.J. Stroud push up in the pocket. Oh, look, the middle of the field's wide open. Let me go get 10. Boom, get down. Right? And slide 5 yards short of everybody else. I don't care, right? Very rarely have we seen that controlled, let me push up in the pocket, let me go get it. It's always the late fade to the sideline one way or another, escaping some crazy-ass pressure and throwing sideways to Nico Collins, who's falling out of bounds. The controlled aspect of it, yes. The problem is what we're talking about here, what the texter's asking is, like, you can't – what we're talking about is not a play call. What we're talking about is simply C.J. Stroud being more comfortable in using his legs. Sure, okay, yeah, could – yeah, that would help. I don't think there's a focus should be put on that. Yeah. You know,
it shouldn't be like, hey, man, this is an answer to some of the, I'm going to have CJ run to run people out of coverages
that,
or do
right. That this CJ Stroud using his legs more often should be a result of playing the position a certain way. Right. Hey, I get cover 2. I get some kind of split safety. I got a light box. I'm going to drop back. I know I may have Nico down the side, but I don't want to really force it in there. The backers are dropping 10 yards deep. Hey, I got good, decent protection up the middle. And this thing parted a little bit. Let me go get 10 yards. Right. Instead of dropping back, patting the football, trying to squeeze it in a tight window. You know, that kind of thing. Like that's all young quarterbacks do it. We've seen both from C.J. Stroud. We've seen really good. We've seen really conservative, taking all the risk out of the position, and we've seen aggressive and adding additional risk to a struggling offensive line. We've seen both sides of C.J. Stroud. Where does he settle in as a quarterback? And that, to me, that's going to dictate whether he's going to have the ability to truly make a run to a Super Bowl, or is he truly going to have the ability to stay healthy and not get banged up and play 17 games. We'll see where CJ lands there.
A couple of people from the text line, Lauren Mack will jump with the ladies. I agree. I heard Mixon speaking last year about how he was telling CJ he needs to use his legs and run more, and I thought that was ill-advised. Others talking about, come on, Clint, let's they're talking about working out again. Never mind. someone else texted in, I want my quarterback throwing the ball, not running it. But you don't want that. He needs to get the ball out of his hand promptly. Don't try to be Lamar Jackson or Mahomes. It's kind of, you mentioned.
Yeah. There is, I just don't think he should focus on it. There is something within your quarterback training to where I remember vividly last year, backed up. He's dropping back in the end zone. He damn near pulled the Dan Orlovsky and ran out of the back of the end zone. Titus Howard got dumped in his front side, like it got dumped right in front of him. I think it ended up being an incomplete pass. But there was, like, in that, your clock needs to speed up in that moment. Again, you push up in the pocket. You don't drift out wide because you're backed up, right? So you push up in the pocket. There were a couple opportunities where he needs to be more conscious. My clock's going to speed up because I'm backed up in my own end zone. I'm going to push up in the pocket. I'm going to tuck this thing and go get 5. Just get us out. Right, give us a chance to get out of the end zone kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some of those more conscious decisions.
Yeah, not saying to never run, but I think as you're talking, and I believe this, like guys like Lamar and Richardson, I think Mahomes, I think Russell Wilson back in the day, like it was probably talked about, hey, man, don't just sit back here.
Yep.
Go get that easy 8. Go get that easy 7. Like, and I'll take Anthony Richardson out of this part of it, but a lot of those guys, they are able to avoid hits in the way that it, like the few times CJ has run – it doesn't seem like you ever, yeah. you ever really see like Russ in his heyday take big hits.
No.
You ever see Mahomes take a lot of big hits?
It's a superpower.
Lamar, as much as that, and those guys are running out. Like I said, I take Anthony out of that.
Yeah.
But
avoid the knockout punch.
Like it seems like Kick Rock said it. Yeah, I remember got drilled across the knee trying to head to the sideline in that game mm-hmm. against the Chiefs. Justin Reed nailed him right in the knee when like he could have avoided, like Mahomes would have never gotten hit in that.
Yeah.
Unless it was a penalty.
Right. Shore up your interior protection. Train your quarterback to drop deep, push up in the pocket, process at a little different level, because he's an elite processor. Processor at a little different level, just say, hey, man, I can run this one. And you're put in a position naturally to go, oh, there it is. Let me go get it, right? The poor protection in the middle, the holding the ball and drifting back and then drifting to one side or the other, that's trouble, that's panic. We don't want to see any of that.
All right, good thoughts, good back and forth with some of their people are saying CJ needs to look at Matt Stafford as his favorite guy, Stafford, Aaron Rodgers a bit. All right, coming up, the Minnesota Timberwolves, that was embarrassing last night. But Anthony Edwards, we did stock up, stock down conference finals yesterday. He's probably the answer to the stock down. Wait till you hear what he said post game. Ooh, is he going to pay for this one? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I wonder how many were disappointed like Tyler Milner yesterday when he went +8 with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, I'd never had a shot.
No. Yeah. The Vikings could have gone out there and given them a better effort and game than that. The Twins might have had a chance. Honest to God, I think the WNBA runner-up, Minnesota Lynx, I think they could have given just as good of a run as what the Timberwolves gave. That was ridiculous.
Holy smokes!
That was ridiculous. Like, when you look at, and I was talking to Clint about this before the show, when you look at, you know, 26 points in a quarter is not great. I mean, I would even consider in the NBA a 26-point quarter to be low scoring. There is no way in hell in a game, Clinton Tyler, when your season is on the line, Richard Jefferson, this time for real, they're playing for their season. There is no way that you give up 26 points. And really, it was 23. They hit a shot at the buzzer. 26 points in the first quarter. And as Tyler said, you never had a shot to be within 8. The game's over. The game's over because your ass scored 9. 26-9 to start it. They want no parts of Oklahoma City. I have never seen a 1-2-3 Cancun type of performance in my life like that was. If I'm Stephen A. and the rest, I'm pissed that I had to travel to Oklahoma City. I'm pissed y'all got me up. We got to do this pregame show. It was ridiculous how rough that was. I know you said you tuned in. It was 30 by the time you got in there. I clicked off of them. Went and watched other stuff. It was 56 to 20 something. It was pathetic.
My 1-year-old last night had a tough time going to bed, so I was locked in that room for quite a while. But there's when I turned it on, it was 30 something point game, and SGA was on the bench, and literally I didn't see him dribble a ball. I did watch Caruso pass up several open shots that would have put him above that 8.5 point mark, and just
talk
that
about
clock.
An effing bad B, bro. I'm sorry to interrupt. He had 8 points with 2 minutes left in the first half. I needed one more point.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I needed one more point.
And they couldn't get Shea out fast enough for your ass.
Hey,
they couldn't get Shea out. You had 33.5.
Yeah.
But Shea had 34. Couldn't
Son
get his.
Bitch.
Hey, I watched Caruso, like literally, man, he set a pick and both defenders doubled the ball handler. he rolled to the bucket and they dished that thing to him. I was like, yep, there's Tyler's points. And he literally, the shot clock was still high. So he just kind of dribbled back out to the 3-point line. He didn't take it.
Good smart.
Oh,
black mama, my ass.
And then he's dealing it to old Lou Dort and Chet Holmgren, and they're just jacking up threes.
Yeah, Lou, hey, Chet was getting them up.
Yeah, that was a tough game. I tell you, Ron, you would be the one to ask about this. I've watched more NBA playoff basketball this year than I have in a really long time. I mean, because hell, this first
time Rockets were involved. Yeah,
but I don't. This NBA playoffs to me, man, was disappointing overall because of how many games were just blowouts and teams just threw the towel. Now there were a couple. I will say this: there were a couple of games the Knicks in the first round, and there was a couple of games where the Pacers have done it, where they've come back from like down 20 or something, and that's kind of saved those games. But in reality, man, there's a lot. It seems like there's been a lot of games that have ended midway through the third quarter. And have been a tough watch from that point forward.
We've watched a lot of matchups.
I didn't expect that much.
We've watched a lot of matchups, Clint. Like, some of you have bad games. Like, I think OKC, they was kind of comfortable. They had a bad game three, when they got their asses blown out by Minnesota. But I think other cases, Clint, is we'll watch these games, and it's not like, oh, man, they just had a bad night, bad shooting. No, that other team is just better than them. And they're not going to come back in a corner and turn it around like we see sometimes in the league. And the defensive intensity makes it harder to come back in those things. But, Clint, I think the story coming into it was how big of a jump of a star is Ant Edwards going to make? Is this about to be his league? And then to the point of disappointing performance, this is another game where he's under 20 now. He didn't play a lot in the fourth quarter. They threw in the towel, too. But listen to what he had to say after the game. The question to him was, yo, how much does this hurt? You know, how would you describe the hurt and the pain of losing two straight years in the Western Conference Finals?
It's exciting. I don't know why people would think it would hurt. I mean, it's exciting for me. I'm 23. I get to do it a whole bunch of times. I'm hurt more so for myself, for Mike. I came up short for Mike. Like I said, we tried last year. We couldn't get it. We tried again this year. We're going to try again next year. But hurting is a terrible word to use. I'm good. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's not what I want to hear if I'm a T-Wolves fan.
Yikes. And Mike Conley is sitting next to him. And Mike Conley appears to be a person whose eyes are red, that is thinking, how much more do I have? I don't know if I'm ever going to get here again. Hell, I may not be on the team next year. And my man said, he responded. That was the question, the hurt and the pain. He responded with, it's exciting.
Why would I be hurt?
And then doubled down on it. It's exciting again. Hell, I'm 23.
I don't know why people would think I'd be hurt.
Man, Mike Conley came into college with Greg Oden. That's how low Mike Conley's been doing it. Bruce Pearl was in Tennessee. Like, this is how long he's been doing this. And my man, like, that ain't right. Like, and the thing is how Ant was, like, looked at was, this is a killer. This is... Like, there have been people comparing him to, you know who, Jordan, in terms of the, hey, man, he will take your soul from you.
Now, what I just heard.
That Jordan said, Clint, hell, man, I don't know why anybody, like, the audacity that anyone would even wonder why, would even use hurt. He said hurt's a terrible word to use.
Loser-ass mentality.
I can't imagine what it's like in Minnesota right now. You don't even have to put together a show.
Just look, from my perspective, I'm looking at it, man, like the analysts around the NBA were talking about this guy, you know, is he ready to take over the NBA? Is he ready to be the next guy, as you mentioned? And in reality, these kind of comments here, man, you gotta wonder, is he a guy that can take over an organization? I know talent-wise he is, but does he have the mentality to set the bar, set the standard, to push guys to a different level, to live at that championship level? I don't know. I don't cover the guy. I don't watch him enough to know the answer. But when you hear that, when you watch the video that goes along with it, and you watch kind of the lackluster, inconsistent play, you got to wonder if this is the guy that literally can take a program and an organization, put him on their back, and carry him to new heights. Now, the last two seasons, he damn sure has.
Yeah, but to me, he has gotten a pass to me just in terms of how people have talked about him. He has gotten a pass in a way that I've not seen young stars like that here recently. I think it ends.
Yeah.
I think his performance just could have ended it. He's had some games. Now he came out there. I don't know if he was sitting there trying to be like, nah, man, I ain't bothered. Like, there's so many other things in life. Like, I just don't believe you. There's no chance you're feeling this way.
I got a question for y'all. What's worse? What we're talking about, what we just heard from Anthony Edwards just being very nonchalant about being eliminated from the playoffs, or here in Houston, a Jalen Green just not even showing up in the playoffs?
Well, Jalen Green not even showing up in the playoffs is worse. I'm hoping at 23 that Ant grows out of it. Like, maybe grows, maybe this is, there's some experiences that grow him out of it.
I mean, he's so immature, he can't even help himself but drop at least 2-4-letter words anytime a mic's around him.
Yeah.
It almost seems purposeful. It's odd.
Yeah. Jalen got 7, 8, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And it's
I'm with you.
That is an awful look. An awful look, especially with what it was thought that he was gonna be, but I can't believe that rolled out of his mouth. I just want to know, Mike Conley, what were you thinking sitting next to him when he rolled that out?
Probably biting his damn tongue.
He probably said to Mike, man, you want to go and grab some burgers or something afterwards? No, I don't want to jump on the game with you.
It was National Hamburger Day.
What the hell are you talking about, man? Shoot, man, I've been playing 15 years. You have rubbed it in my face that you're 23. You got plenty more of these to go. What in the hell? All right, coming up, we got to have a talk about Jose Altuve. I know Tyler has been secretly, that you all don't know as an audience, but throwing it in our face every time he goes deep or every time he hits a home run. Here he's back. He's back. I believe he's called us his favorite phrase. What's your favorite phrase that you called? What does he call us? Dingoes. Yeah, he's called us.
Oh, there are some dingo
boys. He put that in the rundown yesterday, some dingoes. But we got to talk about Jose Altuve. How you think this experiment, this left field, moving him all around, moving him away from second base, how do you think this experiment is working out? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Just another reminder, tomorrow we are heading out for stop number 9. Stop number 9 on our Sports Radio 610 crawfish circuit. We've had a great, great time. We expect to see all of you who have time to come out. Shannon and Steve, I'm sure they will continue their streak as they're trying to get to 9 in a row. Crafty Crab tomorrow. Crafty Crab, Fondren Road, in Houston. Come on out. Hang out with us. We'll be there until 6 o'clock, 2 to 6. And get some good bugs. You've heard some good things about the bugs out there. I've heard some good things.
Heard they're good.
Get some bugs out there. Got a chance to win prizes each and every hour. Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light always there holding us down and supporting us. And the grand prize, of course, where you can win a $500 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as beer for a year, Bud Light, Budweiser. That is tomorrow. Crafty Crab, 2 to 6. Come and enjoy yourself and hang out with us as we'll have a good time as always. All right, yesterday, one of the things we were talking about, and we saw it, hell, it happened to us and watched it happen, you know, right in our faces a couple of times with Altuve, you know, some struggles there in the outfield. Just, you know, really not much that he could actually control, just as
vertical struggle.
His size just kind of hurt him in a couple occasions. And, I mean, it's been okay out there in left field. But 55 games in, I just want to do a check-in on the folks. 713-572-416, YouTube and Twitch. Jump to hell in on this. But 55 games in, do you believe this Altuve experiment is working out? Do you believe it's working out? He's played most of his games in left field. Then he's played some at second base and had some starts at DH. Even with Yordan there, sometimes they'd put Yordan in left and let him get some days in DH. And just comparison-wise, this year he's hitting .267, on-base percentage .316, slug .410, OPS .726. And this is the one here, Tyler. His WAR is -0.3. -0.3 is his wins above replacement. Last year, his slash line, he hit .295, .350 on base, .439 slugging, and then OPS .790, and he was a 3.4 wins above replacement. WAR at a 3.4. And 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Is this experiment? How's it working out right now for you?
Well, I mean, it depends on what the expectations are, what the intentions were. Like, I think it's going to work out just fine for them to chew up 162 games. I think it's going to work out just fine for them to keep Yordan Alvarez, you know, from having to play too much, to allow him to play second DH and left field, give him another position to kind of keep him active with. Give him another option of getting the best bats in the lineup if they need to do it this way. But in the playoffs, I just don't think it's going to happen. As we get down the stretch here, I don't think that games that matter, once they get beyond, hey, man, long season, let's get through the bulk of these games, once it comes down to cutting time, I don't think we see Altuve in left field.
You've been saying it. You said there might be, you said you don't know if he'll be there after the All-Star break. I remember you.
Yeah, look, but the Astros, here's the thing is like right now there's no reason for them to panic. I mean, this was my deal over a 162 game season. You know, how many times is in a game is with runners in scoring position is a ball going to be hit to Altuve where he misjudges it and an issue does come up and it costs us? I don't think it's going to cost you that much over a 162 game season. Now, you get into a playoff series and it costs you one game, it costs you one run, it gets you twice in one game like it did yesterday. I don't think that risk is worth whatever reward they think there is. So I think he ends up back at second base or ends up at DH. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I know y'all don't like Yordan Alvarez in left field, but Yordan Alvarez, in my opinion, is a 10 times better outfielder than Jose Altuve.
I mean, even when he
got cut in half by that wall back in the day, and everybody thought he was hurt. I mean,
that was a
really good attempt at a ball, right? I mean, that wasn't he ain't ever played outfield before. Look, you know,
definitely got the better arm.
Yeah, better arm. I think maybe the range isn't there because Altuve can maybe run better. But boy, you got to think that Yordan takes one stride to Altuve's two or three. But
yeah,
I feel like Yordan Alvarez handles that wall and catches at least one of those balls fairly easily for McCullers in that game a couple days ago.
As I see some people texting in, it's okay. I think it's okay considering and only going to get better. Well, hopefully you would think more reps would get that point. Joseph on YouTube and Twitch, as we're saying, how do you think this experiment is going right now with Altuve kind of playing all over the place, mostly in left field? He said, I'd say he's not a good fielder at all, but he's staying in the lineup and he's hitting very well. See, that's my thing is I think he's gotten hot lately. I don't think he's offensively been great. I think he's gotten hot here of late.
Yeah.
But like if you're talking across like the entirety of the season thus far, like, hell, he's hitting three different spots. Like, I know it's his call, but his offense has not been to the level that we're accustomed to. As I said, obviously, we're just now getting into June, but his numbers across the board have taken a dip, and we'll see what he does the rest of the way. I don't know, fellas. I don't know that this is helping him offensively. Like, you know, this new position, playing all over the place and not – you know, going different places. I'm sure he knows maybe before the ballpark, he gets to the ballpark where he's playing.
Right.
But I don't think all of this defensive upheaval from, hey, you're going to play left and you're going to play second, you're going to play, you know, you're going to DH. I don't think it's helped his offense some. So, I mean, yeah, they are 500, a half game out of first place. They could be in first place after today. But I don't think we're seeing the best Jose Altuve at the plate or in the field. And hopefully this he's getting hot means that like that's what we're going to see. I've watched and I thought, man, there's no way that he's not taking that to the plate with him. Or he's not putting so much focus on trying to be the best left fielder he can be, and that maybe that is coming at the expense of some of his offenses, which is really what you want. Like, that's why you try to find them other places to play so you can keep that bat in there.
Well, you would think that it's definitely could potentially be weighing on the dude playing a whole different position. Maybe not day in, day out, but definitely when a ball goes off the wall that you misjudged. Maybe you should have caught, maybe you should have played it off the wall. You know, you got your boy McCullers is on the mound, and now you've given it. So, I mean, I got to think that that's got to weigh on you a bit.
Oh, hell, he's liable to have gone out there and got caught a bunch of balls after the game just because of that. Yeah. Try to play it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I mean, look, if the method to the madness is we're just going to chew through some games and this gives us a way to get our best lineup or multiple lineups to the plate, cool. That's fine, whatever. I'm really interested in what they do come crunch
when the
time.
Games are
and
real,
I just can't, I just cannot believe that when every single game is so important in the playoffs, I just can't believe they're going to risk putting him out there.
Text line coming through. Clint is right. He's serviceable for the regular season. The margin of error is scary in the playoffs in a short series. It's the offensive numbers are the ones that I look at. Before this hot streak that he is going on, it was like, damn, you maybe moved him around because you thought, all right, we know that bat's going to be there. We're just going to try to make this thing better. But his offensive numbers, that war, that would be the worst of his career. Negative 0.3. And I'm guessing a lot of that is coming from the defensive side of things. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
All right, y'all, the College Football Hall of Fame. College football gets one right. John Daly, our guy that was on the show a while back, he may be on to something, boys. I saw something yesterday I got to tell the folks about. And Lance McCullers, how does he feel after that big-time outing a couple days back, man? We'll talk about it all next right here on Sports Radio 16.